We're continuing our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of our hearts. Judging our thoughts and intentions of our hearts. Glory be to God. This series, is as a way of reminder, needs to be taught because of the presence of sin. Once we fail, we no longer could judge our thoughts and intentions of our hearts apart from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of the living God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's why Proverbs has verses like, there's a way of man that seemeth to be right. Mm-hmm. It seems right. You can be 100% convinced that you are right. But he shockingly follows that up by saying, but the end thereof is death.
Yeah.
That is scary.
Yeah.
You can be fully convinced that what you're doing is right, but the end thereof is, not only is it not right, but it's deadly. And so thank God that he didn't leave us in that state. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And so we're continuing our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of our hearts. And again, let's turn to our foundation text for this again. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And the 12th verse, Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. Thank God for teaching ministry. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. They are priceless. Believe me. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For the word of God is quick, alive, or living. Remember, that word means it's alive and constantly operating. And it is active, operative, energizing, and effective. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword that pierces or penetrates as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the immortal portion of man, and the, soul and spirit, and both joints and marrow. The joints and marrow represent the deepest part of our nature, our innermost being, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Judge, again, means it's able to expose, sift through, analyze, and determine what is good and bad, every single thought and intention, the conceptions, that which we conceive that are in our heart. And so when we say that the Word of God does this, it is to say that God does it himself. Amen? Because God and his Word are one. The Word of God reveals our true nature. So we've gone over that, and we talked about surface level living, which is our false self, and we've gone over that quite a bit too. So now let's begin to talk about our real or the true self. Now, if I can go back to my little diagram here on the board, our false self, if we draw the outer part of the stick man here, so this outward living again would be the false self, that is surface level living. And then inside this is another stick man, which it will represent our real self. And that is the born again spirit that's been resurrected from the dead. So when Romans 12, let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we'll keep this design in mind. And let's go over some definitions right quick too. For example, let's go back over the false self. The false self, again, is when our outer man, our outward living matches that of the world, but is not a true representation or expression that comes from within us, our inner being, which is our regenerated self. So when the outward, I've never heard this before, but hear it again. So the outward living, which is the living that people see, they see the things that we do and say are done with this physical body. And so when the things that we say and do, which is the result of the things that we think, when they match up with the world, then we're in sin, because Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to the world. So when we are conformed to the world, meaning that we take the shape outwardly of this world, meaning that we begin to pattern ourselves and express ourselves after the world, and that pattern and that expression, it is one which does not come from nor is representative of our inner man, which is regenerated, then at that moment we are in sin. And this is our false self, which is not a true representation of who we really are. So that's why it's false, because it's not a true representation. The opposite of false would be true. And so now we're going to talk about this guy on the inside here, the one that has been regenerated and that has been born again. So let's talk about that. So the true self definition, if we don't have it already, is when our outward living matches our inward born again nature. So our outward living, the living that you do in the body, matches our inward born again nature. Another way of saying that is when our inward divine nature is displayed through our outward living. That's what the real self again is when our inward divine nature is displayed, put on exhibition, through our outward living. Another definition of real self. So the first one is the true self is when our outward living matches our inward born again nature. Okay, another way of saying that is when our inward divine nature is displayed through our outward living. So does that make sense? The outward living is matching what's on the inside. Now let's go back to Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world. Remember, we told you that in the literal Greek, that word is stop being conformed to this world. Stop masquerading in the ways of this world. Comma, contrast and conjunction, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So stop doing this and start doing this. That's why I love the simplicity of the Word of God. The Word of God is not hard to be understood. It's the pastors and the teachers who are making it difficult. But it's not hard to be understood. Stop doing this, start doing this. He didn't even leave it to our, well, stop doing this, well then what am I supposed to do? He told us, stop this, start this. We're going to take apart that word, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove, put to the test, what the will of the Lord is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The will of the Lord is good. The will of the Lord is acceptable and it is perfect. So one commentator said it this way. He said, instead of masquerading in the ways of this age, this society, the Apostle Paul here exhorts the church at Rome for the saints to be transformed. The word transformed is metamorphomai, long word. Metamorphomai. That is metamorphomai.
One more time.
Yep. M-E-T-A-M-O-R-P-H-O-O Phaomai. So metamorphaomai. And of course, you see a word in here, right? Metamorphosis.
Yeah.
All the words come from Greek. Just little words. You know, remember that big words are made from little words. I don't know if you all saw Keelan the Bee, you know. Told her that, you know, all the big words. How am I learning all these big words? You know, because you know little words. Metamorphomai, which speaks of the act of a person changing his outward expression. I'm going to read this a few times. From that which he has to a different one, an expression which comes from and is representative of his inner being. That's come from Kenneth Weeks. I'm going to read that a few more times. This word means or speaks of the act of a person changing his outward expression, right? That which he does outwardly. From that which he has to a different one. Now, that can never be done apart from the power of God. Other than that, we just would have been continued expressing ourselves with the same old, because we can't change ourselves if this spirit isn't raised from the dead. Does that make sense? So when he tells them to stop masquerading in the habiliments or the ways of this world and start changing that to one that matches your inside, it's something that can be done because you've been enabled to do so because your spirit has been raised from the dead. Does that make sense? So now we've been empowered. Remember, Jesus told his disciples that you will be a witness unto me after you have received the Holy Ghost and received power to do that. And I have to remind that the body of Christ that every command is not a suggestion. It's not, well, I'll do this, but maybe I won't do this. Oh, I can do this, but I can throw this one out. You can't pick and choose. That's really the kind of prevailing attitude in society today. It's among the so-called Christians in the evangelical, you know, church. And we can just pick and choose the commands and pick and choose what God has said is true or what is a sin. You know, if we think it's not a sin today, even though God said it was a sin, we don't have that right to do that. You have the ability, but you don't have the right to do that. When he says stop doing this, then that's what start doing this, that's what he means. So it's just, again, it speaks of the act of a person changing his outward expression from that which he has to a different one, comma, an expression which comes from and is representative of his inner being. We'll read that again. Yeah, how you live out here ought to match what's in here. And if it doesn't match and you're born again, and you're truly saved, then what's, if this outer doesn't match the inner, then you're living a false life. And remember, we talked about, and that person then is deceived, led astray, the mind has been misled. And he's saying, stop doing that. And instead, he said, you need to change that outward expression from that which you had to a different one. What is that? An expression which comes from and is representative of his inner being. Again, that's Kenneth Weiss, a powerful and wonderful Greek scholar. What's in us ought to come out. What's in our innermost being ought to be seen by a watching world. Then once you understand this, that this is the real self, the real you, the transformed you, the born again you, the regenerated you. Once you realize that, and that begins to dominate your thinking, and it's shown out here in your outer self, then you become that light of the world and the salt of the earth. Then Matthew 5, 13, 14, and 15 comes to pass. You are the light of the world. City set on the hill. You're the salt of the earth. Light of the world. Salt of the earth. Listen to those things. That means everywhere you go, you don't get a chance to take a break. You're in a department store. You're driving on the freeway. You're in a bank. You're standing in line to buy a ticket to a movie. Driving down a side street. You're always the light of the world. You're always the salt of the earth. You're always expected, you, me, us, we are always expected to let the inside shine on the outside. Amen. We are to always have our real self, our true self on display. Because in that then, God is glorified. In that then, the light of Christ shines through. Remember we talked about when we had this veil on. When we are masquerading in that, we talked about, it said this masquerade costume, talking about when our outer self does not match the inner. We're masquerading in a costume, which saints sometimes put on, hides the Lord Jesus living in the heart of the Christian, and is an opaque covering through which the Holy Ghost cannot radiate the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to hurt our hearts real strong. Because after all, for us to live is what? Christ. And if we're masquerading in a costume that is covering up his beauty from and his glory and his radiance from shining through, then we're not living up to the reason we even exist.
Amen.
Which is to bring him glory. Quiet as it's kept, and it's kept real quiet. You're not in existence for your sake. Your life does not belong to you.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's something we just foreign to Christians. Because we think it's all about them. And it usually starts with the pulpit. Because the preacher knows it's all about him. And quiet as it's kept. It's not about him at all. It's not about him. It's not about the congregation. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see this word used in scripture. Let's go to Matthew, the 17th chapter, where this word metamorphomai is translated transfigured. You remember that word? Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. We'll start with the first verse. Matthew, the 17th chapter, in the first verse. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them on a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. Love what the commentary says on this. It's a classic example of how it should be, where the inner shines into the outer. Kenneth Vese says here, "Our Lord allows the glory of the essence of his deity that came from his inner being as deity and was representative of him as such to shine through his human body." So, translation for us as regular folks, our spirit that's been born again, that now is a partaker of the divine nature, right? Second Peter 1 and about verse 4. We're now partakers of the divine nature. Then we are to allow this to shine through, this nature, to shine through our human body. Now, I know this sounds real elementary and real basic, but you do know, I do know, we do know, that we express or put on display, or we exhibit the divine nature through our body, because our spirit is covered up, if you will, in our body. I know that's real simple, but you do understand that. So that's why the drawing here. So this is the body, and this is the spirit. I know you noticed too, just review. Death is never a cessation of existence.
Amen.
So we tend to think of it as that. Nothing goes out of existence because of death. Death is a separation. So in this case, when the spirit separates from the body, then the body does what? Slump to the floor. And the spirit then moves on to its next abode, either heaven or hell. So it's the spirit that really animates or gives life to the body. You understand that? So the spirit then houses the body. I know you heard this before, but we need to keep hearing it. Why are you saying this? Well, there's a couple reasons. One, that's not necessarily in the context of what we're talking about right now, is that's why Christians fall into a trap when they look at the color of the houses of people. Because the real self is on the inside, which is colorless, genderless, culturalless, ethnicless. Wow, sounds like what the scripture says. We're no more Jew or Greek, no more bond or free, no more male or female. All are one in Christ Jesus. We get hung up on the color of houses as Christians. And we treat folks according to the color of that house, to the dismay and the loathing, really, of our Heavenly Father, because he hates that. Paul barbecued Peter for doing that, and Paul barbecued Peter under the divine guidance and auspices of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go get him, tear him up, because he's a leader and he needs to understand that what he is doing and what he feels in his heart is wrong. It's prejudice, it's racist, it's bigoted. The great Peter. Saints of God, real legitimate children of God, that's scary, can be fooled and persuaded by the house only. I mention it ad nauseum, but go ahead and throw up. I'm going to say it again. Samuel, the great prophet of God, called by God himself, kept going to his dad. Eli, did you call me? He said, no, man. Hey, you called me? No, dude, I'm trying to say go. You know what? If it come again, it's the Lord. Answer him. The Lord personally called Samuel. And yet the great Samuel, who was still in a physical body, was influenced by Eliab, his height and his good looks. He saw his height and he saw his good looks. He looked at that house and said, surely this is the next king of Israel. And God said, nope, I rejected him. And what's scary is those great men of God can be persuaded like that. We need to be very careful.
Amen.
Very careful. Okay, so that's one half. The other half that I mentioned is realize that you express who you really are in your body. No, that goes without saying. But you express it in who you really are is expressed or put on exhibition through your body. Right? You speak kind words with a physical mouth. You do kind deeds with your mouth or your hands or your arms. And you hold a door open. You speak a kind word. You smile. You hug. You stop and help somebody in distress. All of that is done through the body. I know this is real simple, but sometimes things are so simple that we overlook it. We express who we really are through the body. So when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, who he was on the inside and truly was the representation of who he was shown through his human body. I love how he's just real simple. He said, this radiance caused his face, part of his body, to shine and his garments to appear white as snow. It had such a profound effect on his natural body that it caused his face to shine and even his clothes were glowing. Now, this is the deity of Jesus shining through the body. Now, this is different from Moses, because Moses was outside on. You got that? The glory of God being on the outside, showing on Moses' face and reflected to the masses. This is different. Jesus, this is from the inside out. And we are miniature. That's what Christians, miniature, diminutive Jesus. Same thing, it's from the inside out. That's why I love the Sunday identity, which I actually could start teaching that over Sunday from the beginning and start it all over. I really could. Because that's why we need to understand who we are first. Because we need to really get a hold of that person who is really you and really get to know that person and begin to order your worldview, your thoughts, your speech, and your mind according to who you are supremely. Because that's who is to shine through your body. My body, our bodies. Just think about the transfiguration. Think about it. Here is this human body. Late 20s, early 30s, right around that time. This human body that had been on earth for this time just suddenly just becomes brighter than the noonday sun. The majesty shone through that body. Let's say la. Pause and calmly think about that. And of course, it's way over right here. We can't. I mean, it just blew those Peter, James, and John away. If you read down further, they didn't want to leave. Spill some tents here, man, some tabernacle. Just stay here. Said, well, we got things to do. We can't just hang out here. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Now realize what we just went over. And let's go back to Romans 12. Keep that in mind when he talks about us being transformed. I'm going to open up with another commentary note from Kenneth Viest. Romans 12 and 2. This is Kenneth V sort of summarizing chapter 12, verse 2. He said, Paul therefore says in effect to the saints, change your outward expression from that which you had before salvation, an expression which came from your totally depraved nature and was representative of it, right? Change that to an expression which comes from your regenerated inner being and is now representative of it. When we were out in the world, this was unregenerated. It was unregenerate. It was dead. We did things that pleased our father, the devil. Remember, there's only two fathers, God the Father or Satan the Father. Satan, Father. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. So remember he said, if he says that to them in the book of John, then that means that if they're of their father, the devil, then that means the devil has children. You can't be a father without children. And then God has children and he is a father. When we were in the world, we then obeyed the lust of our flesh, the desires and dictates, whatever our flesh said or dictated or demanded of us, we did. But thanks be to God, he saved us, he gave us life to our spirit, and you hath he quickened or made alive. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
He made us alive. And once he made us alive, he then placed in us the divine nature. Now we have the mind of Christ. We have the attitude of Christ. We can love like God loves and be a representative of God our Father. Now, the sad part about it is, however, is that we can still act like the world. We can still act like we have not been changed, even though we have been changed. You follow that? We can still act like we can still act out with through our body as though we have not been changed, even though we have been changed. And that's what was happening in the Church of Rome. And Paul is saying, stop doing that. Stop your outward expression, which you had before salvation. Stop letting that come forth. We talked on Sunday about being a witness. You know, you know, foul language and smoking and drinking and cussing and even if it's not necessarily cussing, but saying things that are worldly, that aren't biblically based or scriptural. You know, even though it's not foul language, it's still not edifying.
Amen.
You say, well, I ain't cussing. Yeah, but what you are saying still isn't edifying.
Amen.
He said, let your speech be seasoned with salt, that it may give grace to the hearer. Way too many Christians are looking like the world. You know, even though this was preached over 2,000 years ago, it's still way too many Christians today still looking like the world, mm-hmm. Pastors included. Summarizing again, to Paul, therefore, saying in effect to the saints, change your outward expression from that which you had, key phrase, before salvation, and change it to an expression which comes from your regenerated inner being and is representative of that of it. Let's look at some real true self in scripture as we get ready to close. We went over this, but let's go over it again. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's look at some real true self in scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7. Look at verse 6, 1 Samuel 16, 6. When they entered, that would be, I believe, Jesse and Samuel, prophet Samuel, Jesse, the son, the father of all these sons, including David. He looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And look at the word surely. He was really convinced. He didn't say, well, maybe the Lord. No, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. How many have thought something to be absolutely true and it was absolutely wrong? We'll move on after that note. But the Lord said to Samuel, thank God for the Lord clarifying, do not look at his appearance or at the height. So what was he looking at? His appearance and the height. He looked good and he was tall. And by the way, this verse, I don't do it all the time, but this verse keeps me from somewhat, or checks me from always kind of catering toward folks who quote unquote look good and got height and so forth. We kind of tend to cater to the quote unquote cute or the pretty or the handsome or the, you know, we tend to cater to that. And I'm in a great place in a school where you have all kinds of quote unquote looks to practice showing kindness and generosity and honor and dignity and worth to everyone.
Yes.
You know, so that I thank God I get to practice it, because there's that kind, this keeps coming to me as a constant reminder, be careful about calling this person cute or they look nice. Be careful with all that. And then be very careful how you treat those who are quote unquote maybe don't. This is a warning to me personally, and let it be to you if you struggle with that. And then we all tend to. We've been conditioned to think that way. Good hair, bad hair. Good looks, bad looks. Good body, bad body. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature. And again, that's a word to us. Do not look at their appearance or at the height of their stature and then treat them accordingly to those things only. You follow me? That's a word for us too. Do not look at their appearance or their height and then treat them accordingly, because of someone else's appearance and lack of height, you treat differently. That's the danger in that. As a born again child of God, that's not regenerate of your inner self. That's not regenerate of the mind of Christ when you do that, when I do that, when we do that.
Amen.
Father God, help us not to look at folks' appearance or their height and then treat them accordingly, or treat them more favorably and someone whose appearance and doesn't have the height and we treat them less favorably. Father God, this is a sin. Mm-hmm. So we've just shown favoritism that James 4 says this is a sin. We repent of that in Jesus' name. He said, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have who I have. God, who is it? God have rejected him. Why? For God sees not as man sees. What do you mean? Because all man sees is just out here. Mm-hmm. What is out here? The body. We see the house, and that's all we see. And that's all we can see. That's all we are able to see. It's just the house. If we aren't empowered with some supernatural gifting for that moment to see into a person's heart, and it's got to come from God, then all we can see is just the house. Because that's all man sees. But God does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I brought that verse in as the first verse to explain the real true self, is because that's what God sees all the time, is the real true self.
Amen. Thank you.
Or another name for that would be the heart.
Yeah, put it out here.
Would be the heart.
Is that H-E-A? Y'all know what that might be.
Real self, the true self, the heart. All of those are representative of our inward, regenerated, born again being. Father God, help us to lock in on that.
Yeah.
Help us to lock in on who we really are and who people really are, and in particular, who the people of God really are. They're spirit beings first, for their color, their ethnicity, their culture, their height, their weight, their looks. This is a metamorphomai, a transformation that must come from the inside, and it is expressed and revealed and put on exhibition on the outside. Mm-hmm. Help our outward living match our inward regeneration. That's what we're praying for right now. Mm-hmm. And only you can do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.